you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. That's all. I guess we don't have to open our Bibles. It's up ahead. But if we'd, we're going to read from John chapter 6, verse 60 through 7 and 1 for our text tonight. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at what he said, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? And what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go?" Then Simon Peter answered him, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk amongst the Jews, because the Jews sought to kill him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we see such a tremendous ministry, short, 3.5 years, but yet your power, your presence, the love that went forth into the teaching, into the ministering to the people. And yet apparently he said some things that were just too hard for the people. And it says the 70 that walked with him, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And he said, "Well, if you think that's hard, let me give you something even harder." And then we find out that they left. Then he turned to the 12. He said, "Are you going to leave also? And one of you is a devil." You would think that he would look at the 12 and say, oh Lord, thank you for these 12. Help me, Lord, to not speak so hard anymore, because I don't want to lose even these 12. But he didn't do that. He said, "One of you is a devil." Father, help us to understand the Spirit of Christ. For what has been preached over the last 2,000 years has so perverted the gospel of Christ as we brought out Sunday, that people hardly understand your Spirit any longer. Help us to understand the very ministry of Jesus Christ to the people, and how it is to work and how it is to end up. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I'd like to take our thoughts from various quotes from Brother Branham's sermon, "Christ is a Mystery of God Revealed." He talks about how that we are to come to a place that we are more than willing to walk alone with God or with Christ. In fact, we become so much like him that it is not our separating ourselves from others, but we are so one with Christ that we become odd to the others. We become rejected by others just like Christ himself. As Christ was one with his Father, he became the rejected king. Because remember, during the time of Samuel, when Samuel said, "Lord, they've rejected me, vindicated prophet of God." And he said, "No, it's not you they rejected. It's me they reject." Remember, Christ is on the outside of the churches knocking because he's been rejected. This is Laodicea. Now, in order to do a thorough review of this Bible principle, we'll have to take many examples throughout the Scripture, and not only Scripture, but throughout history of the church, just so that we can nail down this principle. You can see that it is, in fact, consistent, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But before we do that, I'm going to read you from Christ as a Mystery of God Revealed. Now, paragraph 100, Brother Brown said, now down through the ages, he has been slowly unfolding this mystery. Can you see it now? Now, down through the, what happened in the prefigure now. He opened Adam's side and took part of his flesh, which was Adam, to make Eve. The bride has to be the Word, because he is the Word. She cannot stand on creeds. You know what a creed is. It's a belief. It's a doctrine. She cannot stand on just words, on creeds. She cannot stand on denomination. She cannot stand on good behavior. She has to stand alone and on the Word, because she's part of it. She was taken from Christ, see. Now notice he tells us that she must come to the place where she will be willing to stand alone on the Word if she has to. I'd like to read now from paragraph 222. Now listen close now. I want you not to fail to get this. No other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other creed, no denomination is accepted outside of this. God accepts nothing else but that, Christ in you. The hope of glory, the only thing that God recognizes. I know we've had our differences with some because they want to put it all in the prophet. And that's wonderful to be able to look and see a man who so yielded himself, who knew that God was in him, who knew God was using him. But what about you? Because that's what Brother Branham is talking about here. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the only thing that God will recognize. In other words, do you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That's the only thing he's going to recognize, is the life of his Son. No fellowship, no church, no creed, no denomination, no nothing. Everything else is dead. It's fragments that have to be cut off, pruned off, away from the thing that Christ might live with preeminence in you. Not referring back, I got one laying here that says, it's my organization, that's got to be cut off too. I got my so-and-so here. This says, my mother will tell me that I'm a holy roller. That's got to be cut off too, see? Well, I know my husband wants me to wear these shorts. That's got to be cut off too, see? It's got to be cut off and pruned till there's just you and Christ alone. See? Notice it is not as though you are totally alone, because he promised to be with us always, even to the end. But you are alone with Christ, you and Christ alone. And this is the condition every believer that will receive the rapture must come to that place. Because the rapture is not a whole group, it's individuals. I'll take one here, and one from over here. Two will be in the bed. I'll take one of them. I'm going to leave the other. Two will be in the field. One is taken, and one is left. So this condition of being so one with Christ that you and he stand alone will be a universal condition, but with individuals only, not with any group. Your attitude will have to be the same attitude that was in Christ. In fact, in Philippians there, where it says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, the NIV translates it, let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. You'll have to be willing to stand alone with Christ and his word, no matter what the church says. No matter what your father says, or your mother says, or your sister or your brother say. Because Jesus said, whoever is not willing to walk alone with him is not worthy of his kingdom. In Matthew 10:32 we read, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And Sunday we went over that, showing you it's the homologio, and it means to say the same words. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What is he talking about? He's talking about preeminence. The preeminence of Christ. Living for Christ. Talking of Christ. Walking after Christ. I'd like to skip ahead to 291. In Christ is a mystery God revealed. Oh, the devil's howling about this. The manifested truth of the promise of the word in her alone. Notice, in her alone. That's what the devils are howling about. They don't have the answer. When Jesus come, why didn't those Pharisees, he said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, who do you cast them out by? He stood alone. And his church stands alone. She's not hooked with nothing. But he was identified by God, being the body that God dwelt in, and the church is identified by his body, doing the same thing. She is his body, the manifested truth of his promised word for the last days. And she alone stands by it. That's why the devil's howling. These great organizations set up something to close her up, but they'll never do it. She'll be taken up, not closed up. Okay, that settles it. You know, we've had that question for a long time. Thinking, well, they're going to come, and Brother Branham said, when this tabernacle is closed, you know, the squeeze comes down, close this tabernacle. That's fine. Squeeze comes, then close the tabernacle. Why? Because we've gone. Somewhere in the squeeze, we are gone. Amen. They're not coming here to close this church up. We're going to be gone. Mm-hmm. God will close it up. Hallelujah. That's what he says. I'm going to read that again. She'll be taken up, not closed up. She goes up, not closed up. Then who are closed up? Those who are left behind. When the tribulation settles in. But notice as he stands outside the church knocking and has been put out of the church, I believe she will also be alone. Because every ministry that was used by God throughout the ages came down to the wire where that ministry was rejected and put out of the churches. They couldn't get cooperation. They couldn't get fellowship with any churches. So let's go back to the first ministry that God used in a mighty way. And see how the people rejected that ministry. We'll take a look at Moses. And we all know that mighty miracles that God did by his hand. And yet the people still murmured against the man. From Exodus 17 and 3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses. And they said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt? Well, what happened when they brought up out of Egypt? 10 plagues at the hands of Moses. When Moses called for him, the flies came. The fleas came. The darkness came. At the hand of Moses. They crossed the Red Sea. When? When Moses took his foot, stepped into the water and held that rod up there and the waters parted. And they saw the supernatural in such a tremendous way. The pillar of fire was over them still, vindicating the man's ministry, and yet they murmured against that ministry. Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. The people were so angry with Moses. Why? Was it his fault they didn't have water? What is it, his fault they didn't have food to eat? You see, People don't realize God always places them under a test first to see whether they're worthy of entering in. Now remember, the people were supposed to stone those who were cursed. So you see the hearts of the people, how that they would curse the one God, the one that God sent to lead them. They would curse him. Leviticus 24:23 says, "And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses." So they were to stone the ones who were cursed. Numbers 15:35, "And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp, and they stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses." And now they turned it on him. They wanted to stone him. And so when they stoned Stephen, they took him outside the city, outside the camp. And there they stoned him. Exactly like Leviticus said, because they thought he was a cursed person because he claimed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they also tried to do this with Jesus as well. John 8:59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him." Today they just cast words. You know, when we're children, we sang the song, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. When I die, you'll cry for all the names that you called me," but they don't cry today. No. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." This is one instance they tried to stone Jesus. Why? They thought he was cursed. Because why? Jesus never claimed to be God. But he didn't back down when they asked him, "Are you the Son of God?" He said, "I am." John 10:31. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answering them said, many good works have I shown to you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" In other words, you have seen the supernatural hand of God in this ministry. Why then would you come against it? The Jews answering him said, "Well, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." And Jesus answering them said, "Is it not written in your own law that I said you are gods? And if he call them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into this world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. And if I do, though you believe not me, believe the vindication," believe the works, "that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore, they sought again to take him. But he escaped out of their hands and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. The man comes with vindication. And yet they still try to stone him. Twice. From the spoken word is original seed, Brother Brown said, now listen, God's messengers always, always, always has been rejected. You believe that? Moses was rejected, is that right? Jesus was rejected, and Luke said in 10 and 16, if you want to write that down, all right, and rejected. In 1 Samuel 8 and 7, God's message was rejected. God had a messenger, a prophet called Samuel. You believe it? Rejected him and his message. They took the world. This is the law of God. This is going, and I don't know whether to say this or not, but this is a law of God. It's a principle. God's law is to receive a vindicated servant. Let's just prove that a minute. I want to take one of the scriptures here, John 13 and 20. Let's just see. I got something wrote down here. I get in my mind just then. Oh yeah, here you are. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whosoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me." A vindicated servant. Oh brother, there's 1,000 sermons laying right here on that now. See, that's right. Oh my, it's a law of God. Receive it. So they rejected Samuel. And in rejecting him, they rejected God. But haven't men always rejected God in rejecting the ones that God sent? in 1 Samuel 8 and 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Hey, people don't change, and God doesn't change. From children in the wilderness, Brother Branham said, now notice, they're going down in there how perfect it was with the scriptures, how Joseph, the younger son, rejected of his brethren, Christ rejected of his brethren. He wore a coat of seven colors, Joseph did, and the seven colors, of course, represented seven colors in the rainbow, which was a covenant. And God always, always, always has his covenant people. Revelation chapter 1. And what did they do to Joseph? They pretended he was dead. And they throwed him into a ditch. They took a bloody coat of seven colors that his father. There's only seven colors in the rainbow. In the rainbow, we know what we get to it a little later on. I think tonight the rainbow over him here. See, and Jesus, he's to look upon as jasper and sardis stone and a rainbow. And a rainbow is a covenant. And that was God's covenant upon Joseph. And when they blood brought it on his coat and took it back to the father, and he was supposed to be as dead. Oh my. They thought that they could get rid of Joseph and his covenant between him and his father. His brothers did that to him. And that covenant of seven rainbow colors his father had given him, they cut it up and they bloodied it. And they tried to destroy the covenant between his father and him because of pure jealousy. And so they do the same today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham said, people die, that spirit they have. He couldn't help that he had been a loyal, obedient son, and his father honored him with the rainbow covenant. Yes, remember when the son was adopted and placed into his position in the family, he was given a special covenant coat. And Joseph's coat of many colors, and many means seven, according to Isaiah 4 and 1. Representing the covenant of God that he had with his sons. And that coat, that symbol of the covenant of his acceptance by his father, caused them to be jealous because they did not know God's plan for the hour. So they tried to destroy him because they were jealous. Now God doesn't change, but people don't change either. And then we find Jesus speaking of his rejection in Mark 12 and verse 10. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builder rejected is become the head of the corner. Matthew 21 and 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read it in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Luke 17, 25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Luke 9, 22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And Mark 8 and 31, and he began to teach them that the Son must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days he would rise again. Now the religious circles have always rejected the ones that God sent to them to bring the word of correction to them. Why? To prove that they are bastard born and not true sons. For the scripture teaches in Hebrews 12 and 7, if you endure chastening, God will deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. And if we are standing true on God's word, we could not expect any different treatment now, could we? John 17, 14. I have given them my word, or thy word. And the world hates them. Why? Because they've been given the word. And the world hates them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, and the doxa, and your opinions, your values, and your judgments, I have given them, that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so we see Jesus telling us, we're not of this world. We can't expect to be loved by this world, by the church world either. From his sermon, present stage of my ministry, Brother Brown said, I say this, when a man stands true to the word, not just in one meeting, but in every meeting, when a man stands true to the word, the time will come when they will leave him. Exactly. They did it. They did it to our Lord. They'll leave him when he stands for the truth. All men have forsaken me. 2 Timothy 4 and 6. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, a crown of right wiseness. Notice Paul says, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. This message is a fight. You can't expect to come in and have political correctness and get anything from God. You've got to fight for every inch that you take. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, the Grecians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men have forsaken me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord did stand with me and strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory and ever, forever. Amen. Salute Prissa and Aquila, and the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left in Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Can you imagine the preeminent ministry after Jesus Christ, being the Apostle Paul? All men forsook him. He still had some close friends. There was still a handful. But the majority of Christendom, if you want to call it that. And believe me, it did become dumb. They dumbed down Christianity and made it Christendom. from the present stage of my ministry, Brother Branham said, all men had forsaken him. How I think of that. How a servant that'll stand true to the word sooner or later. Just remember, the people are going to forsake him. Now, we want to strike that just for a few minutes, and I won't keep you too long now. Because I want you here in the morning. Always, when God's servant stands true to the word, all forsake him. Now, just take anywhere you want to, any time in the Bible or in history, that when a man stayed true, no matter how popular he was, when he stayed true to the word, the time come when the religious world forsaken him and cut him off. Now, just read it as you take the Bible from Genesis over to the book of Revelation and pick up in the pre-Nicene Council and take it down to the Nicene Fathers, and every man, every saint. So he's not talking about just the ministry. He's talking about every person that took a stand for that word. Every prophet, every true servant of God that stayed with the word was forsaken by the ecclesiastical thing and cast down. And Paul was one of them. And if there be one today, it'd be the same thing. It's exactly the truth. You have to hit that place. It has to come. They think that a man that would have a ministry like that, he ought to have the world right under his thumb. Well, he should. But they won't come under his thumb, see? And the man like that wouldn't put a ministry, a world, wouldn't put a world under his thumb. He put it under the master's thumb. Because he's not here representing himself. He's representing his master. You know, man, they try to seek honor one from another, and they honor one another, and they dishonor God by doing so. See, we try and make big people among us, and when we're no big people and little people, we're all little people. There's only one big one among us, and that's our Lord, see. We all know the ministry, the history of Martin Luther. We all know the history of John Wesley. Luther was excommunicated from the very church he served, the Catholic Church, even though he never set out to leave the church. He set out just to bring correction by the word of God. But he was rejected by the very church that God sent him to straighten out. How did it come about? Luther was excited about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he tried to present that revelation to the people, and the people that were there in his congregation, they enjoyed it, but all the elders and all the hierarchy, oh, I tell you what, I think it was jealousy. It's always been jealousy. What about Wesley? He had to resort to open-air meetings and hope to hold his crowds because the churches rejected him. I've got his biography if you ever like to read it. He went to a place, and when God set him on fire, he go to a place, he get a reputation. And the people, they all wanted to hear him. All the churches invited him because they heard about this man who was stirring the crowd, stirring everything else. And he wouldn't even get through half a sermon. And they kick him out of the church. They'd invite him for a week and he'd only be there for half a sermon. Then he'd preach outside on the streets. He was rejected by the very church that God sent him to straighten out. He preached holiness so much that the churches were uncomfortable with his words. And they resorted to kicking him out before he even finished his sermons. From a website called Reformed Reflections. I'd like to read. After his dramatic conversion, John Wesley brought the gospel to regions where it was previously unknown. Amid markets, fairgrounds, and coal pits, he boldly proclaimed the message of salvation. The reaction was fierce. Wesley and followers were persecuted and scorned by the church, the press, and the mob, by magistrates and elite. Although Wesley was an ordained clergyman of the Church of England, he was prevented from preaching in his own denomination. Many of his erstwhile colleagues regularly used to shower their anathemas over his head. What many people found disturbing was the Methodist lay preachers. They seemed at once to be a challenge to the established churches and a challenge to society. The 18th century was an age of satire. In plays and novels, Wesley and the Methodist preachers were shown as religious fanatics or whining hypocrites, in popular prints as a deceiver and as deceivers and exploiters of their flocks, because he was shut out almost entirely from the pulpits of his own church. Wesley organized a society to provide training for his converts. What about Spurgeon? Spurgeon, the man who wrote 3,651 articles. The man who was more published than any other preacher in the history of the church. Toward the end of his ministry, he was rejected. Because they went from Charles Spurgeon to Charles Darwin. And people left the church. From his sermon, Church Choosing Law for Grace, Brother Branham said, a man who ever amounts to anything is a man that stands alone. Him and God alone, that's the man. As Brother Branham often said himself, I'd rather stand and preach to the four corners of the church than have the church filled with 5,000 people. Or 5,000 make-believers. On the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, no more, no less. Just Jesus and you. That's all. And so that's the way that we have to walk this narrow way. Every man that ever did anything for God walked the same road. That's right. Criticized, forsaken, cast out, through all ages, all times, they had to suffer the same thing. So we are just like they are. The same thing. We have to stand it alone. But never alone, he's always there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to know that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We know that your Spirit has come down in this hour, that you have brought forth a shout, and we've entered into that shout. And because we've entered into that shout, the shuck has pulled away. And so, Lord, help us to remain in that shout until we hear the voice of the resurrection. May we, with great anticipation, walk alone with thee. For if we walk in the light, as you are also in that light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This we pray and ask, that this might be our life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee? May the Lord shed his grace upon thee.